So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we can all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
So one of the big challenges I think we all face is finding our place in the church, and then, of course, in every part of life, how we serve our families and our communities. And I have called this particular short-term series I'm going to do this week and next week the we factor, because it's really a lot about how God has designed the church and the relationships in the church for our growth. And if we find a way to come into rhythm with that, things really start to take off. Some of you were involved in Rooted or Restoring Rhythms this year. Maybe I'll just do a little quick hand just to get some. How many people were a part of that? Okay, so almost, 80% of us here in person, hopefully online as well, were part of that over the last couple years. And that was a really interesting demonstration of how an intentional time of building community really could set us up for some growth. Those who went through it, we had prayer meetings, we had encouragement times, we did a service project, all kinds of really cool things came out of that. And for me, it was a great lesson in how to design regular ministry so that we continue to support and grow and encourage one another. And what I want to do today is take us through some of the reasons behind that. And Ephesians chapter 4 is a great way to kind of take that and pull it apart and see what is God's design for growth and how our leaders, those of us who create ministry, the small group leaders and pastors, elders, deacons, what are some things we can do consistently that will lead to regular growth in all of our lives? And so I'm going to take us through some of that, and I want to start with the role of leaders and what is our responsibility. Just to get that clear so that we know what we're doing when we design things and create times and opportunities. So Ephesians 4:12 says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. And it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who are given this work of ministry to build up the whole church, the body of Christ, for service. And this is what it says in Ephesians 4:13, which is just the follow-on to that. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church. And this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son, and that we will be mature in the Lord. Another translation says, we'll reach the full measure, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And the word I want to focus on is that word, this. This will continue. What will continue until we all come to unity of the faith and all that? And the thing that will continue is equipping. That's the word. Equipping will continue until we all reach this ideal. And I did a study on the word, the Greek word for equipping, and how it's used. And a lot of times in the Bible it's covered up because they use a different word as a synonymous word to express the same idea. But this word shows up time and time again in the Bible and then is redefined according to the context. And today I'm going to unpack a little bit the variety of ways that equipping is used to describe God's plan for growth. I hope this is helpful for you and interesting to you, because you're going to find it's all over the place, and it turns out to be the key thing that continues, that is necessary in our process of growth. So I'll start with God. He's the master equipper. He is the one who equips us and gets us ready. And here's a verse from Hebrews 13, 21. It says, "May he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him." So this equipping is quite important. It creates great things. It creates great opportunities. It creates every good thing that's pleasing to God, and he's doing it. He's getting us ready. When it's defined this way, it is defined in the sense of artistry and craftsmanship. So it's a word that talks about the work of our hands to produce something useful and beautiful. If you're designing a piece of art or you're sculpting something, that is the word equipping in this particular context. So God, when it talks about how we are his workmanship, this is Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The word there and the sense there is God is forming and shaping and creating something beautiful. And that is the overall thing that God is doing. So whenever we talk about this, we talk about ministry, we talk about small groups or opportunities, keep in mind that the overall coordination for it is really beyond us. Nobody's designing anything perfect here or any other church, or preaching anything perfect here or any other church. It is all part of what God is doing to equip us, to form us, to shape us. So that's our starting point. Now, what are the ingredients for that? What are the pieces of that make that happen? Now, just for a little background on me, I think you know this, but I was a manufacturing engineer many, many years ago before I became a pastor. And so I love processes. I love kind of how things are put together. There was a show several years ago, you can't really find it anymore, called How Things Are Made, or How It Works, I think is what it's called. And it was all about how these different things were designed and made. And I've always loved that whole thing. So whenever I can find principles that relate to how we grow, how we move forward, I love that, and I really think about that. So here's a couple of them. The first one is about God's Word. It makes sense, since God is the equipper, that he uses God's Word to equip us. And the classic verse on this is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Most of you probably know this verse. "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right, and God uses it to prepare and equip," there it is, "his people to do every good work." So God is using scripture to equip us. And when this word is used, the same word for equip is used in this particular passage, it's now the idea of laying a foundation. It is setting up the things that are needed to correct us, to teach us, to prepare us. He's using his word for that. The Bible. In fact, I don't know if you've ever heard this little acronyms you teach kids when they're young. What's the Bible? It's basic instructions before leaving Earth. You ever heard that before? That's kind of old trope. But the idea is, of course, God has given us the instructions for our life while we're here through the Bible, through the stories of the Bible, through the examples of the Bible, so that we can grow. And so everything we do, of course, here at the church in terms of our ministries is designed around the Bible, so that we can apply it to our lives and have it work for us, so that we can basically be prepared and equipped for every good work. Now, that's the first part. Most people know that, and that's fairly obvious. Here's how God uses others in our lives to speak the truth in love and to equip us as well. One of the big ones is role models. And this is Jesus' own words from Luke 6:40. It says, "The students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained, equipped, will become like the teacher." That's why in the Bible itself, we have so many stories and examples of real-life people and their experience with God. That's why so much of the Bible, the Old Testament especially, is filled with the life stories of God's people. So we can look back and go, I relate to that. I relate to that struggle that was had. I relate to that sin that they went through. It's because we are learning, we best learn from other people, and we best learn in person from other people. That is why it's always encouraged to get into some kind of interrelationship with others and as part of our experience of church. We know during COVID that was a little harder, a lot more online stuff, a lot more isolation, and I think a lot of us felt that too. It's like, well, I feel like, you know, I didn't feel as close to God, I didn't grow as much, or maybe we were involved in a small group because of that, or more involved with our families and more interrelationships, and things got even better because of that. We found that we just needed more smaller groupings of people and more people to be models for us. And it was really important. And so I hope that's a lesson that most of us have learned through this experience. We really tried as a church to guide our whole body through this well and to stay connected and to give every opportunity to connect. And it's super important. In fact, there was a study done just last January. You most may have heard of Barna, which is a group that does research on various aspects of church life. And of course, they've done a lot of studies on the pandemic. They've done a lot of studies on what churches are learning. The number one thing actually churches are learning out of the pandemic is that they needed to get their small group ministries figured out because they saw everybody scatter. And if they didn't have the structure in place to draw people together, to keep them going in a certain direction, they weren't encouraging it, things got really hard for them very quickly. Out of that, there was a study done, and it's called Growing Together that Barna did, and they began asking questions whether they had they asked a large group of people whether they had a relationship with someone other than a family member that provides these things. Okay, I'm going to tell you these three things. That you hold each other accountable, that you offer each other encouragement and support, and you help each other to grow spiritually. So this is just a kind of an intentional thing you're doing with others. Now, I was very curious to hear what the response would be nationwide for this, because I've heard, and this is, you know, it's more anecdotal. It's hard. It's nice when you get actual, you know, numbers, that a lot of people, you know, their most of their experience with church is just, you know, on Sunday morning and hearing the message and going home, and they're not involved in a lot of other things. And our church is quite different than that, but that's been the sense that I've heard in terms of some other churches. And what he found in that question was over half of Christians say they have a relationship like that. That's actually quite encouraging that a lot of people believe that they have something like that going on. And here's the interesting thing. The younger generations, I think because of great youth ministries like Keith and Eli and Jennifer have done, they know that they grow when they're with other people. And that's how youth ministry is formed. But the younger generations, the Gen Z, the millennials, are more likely than people that are older to be in that kind of relationship. And I think that's partly because of the model of the church. If we model that it's great just to come Sunday morning, that's all you need to do, then people don't do that. But if you start young and you help them, it becomes the lifestyle of their experience because they know they get so much more out of it by being part of something with other people. I think that's something, a great lesson for all of us to learn, and we're slowly but surely making that the culture of the church here at our church. It's absolutely the culture from the youngest. In fact, that's one of the reasons we're starting a Wednesday night ministry for young adults and families. It's because we have so many people bringing their kids to the cool stuff we're doing, and we want to find a way to bring the connection with our young adults and our families who obviously know this is so important. In fact, when my daughter was looking, and she's still trying to figure out her church, this is Jessica, our middle daughter, she's trying to figure out which church to go to at school. She's been there like, you know, 2 years, the second year, and still kind of checking things out. And the number one thing for her when she considers a church is who she knows. I remember she was looking online the other day for I'm going to try this one this year. And she went on Facebook, and there she goes, I know those three people. Okay, I'll go to that one. You know, because she knew somebody, and because relationships are the glue of finding a connection. So the other thing is, who among, you know, this is the question was asked by Barna, of all these people, thousands of people, who is actively helping someone else grow in their faith? and move closer to Christ. Taking someone alongside to do that. And this is also actually quite an encouraging thing. 33% of people that they surveyed are doing something like that, intentionally trying to help somebody who's growing in their faith go further. Now, we do that at our church through basic beliefs. We do that through our small groups. We do that in a kind of other, sometimes one-on-one, this, which is called discipling. There's all kinds of that going on here at our church. And nationwide, about 33%. And again, like almost 50% of young people and millennials are used to this and do this because they experienced it. But the older generations, no. It's like 26% some in some sense, in like a church, a normal church like ours. And so that's, again, another growth area, but we are on the way to encouraging that. Now, when pastors were asked about this, this is also fascinating to me, this is what they said, and this is what I find when I talk to actually other pastors, because I do a lot of talking to pastors in our denomination and in our region of churches. And you ask them, how are you doing with that, with discipling or with a small group ministry? And this is what they said nationwide. Only 1% of church leaders thought they were doing well in this area. Only 1%. And I kind of get that feeling from quite a few people that I talk to, too. Like, you know, how is things going with discipling small groups? Do you have a person assigned to that? Well, yeah, we're working on that. And you have a process for helping someone ask questions about their faith and grow. Well, yeah, we're working on that. You know, it's not developed. But the thing they found out, and this is another amazing thing, 9 out of 10 people in that same survey said they would take seriously their church's recommendation to pursue a spiritual path if one was presented to them. You hear that? I'm going to read it again. 9 out of 10 people in the survey who were Christians, and so the pastor says, oh, we're not doing very well. 9 out of 10 people who were surveyed said they'll take it seriously if something was presented. The problem is there was no clear pathway to do it. Nobody gave them a kind of a way to do it. Nobody designed anything for them to grow. So they were told to do it, like join a small group or, you know, whatever. But the small group wasn't designed for that necessarily, or they didn't have a basic beliefs class or something like that, or they hadn't figured out how to help somebody with discipling. They hadn't done all that. That's the work of equipping. So if leaders don't do that or don't know how to do that, then it just stops. Now this is so clear to me now, that especially after we did Rooted and Restoring Rhythms, and we've seen this increase in people connecting and staying connected in our church, is that the key to this thing is the process. And the key is making something work so that and thinking about it all the time. In fact, one of my favorite pastors is Rick Warren. Now, you may think, well, that's a huge church, that's a Baptist church, whatever. What I love about Rick Warren is the way he's designed his ministry and is able to see so many people in small groups and doing missions and all this. And this is what he said. He wrote this in the Purpose-Driven Church. He said, instead of growing a church with programs, focus on growing people with a process. We need a process to go with purpose. And unless purpose is fleshed out in a process, then we don't have anything but nice platitudes. Isn't that neat? That is really, really wise. In fact, this is a little side thing. When the pandemic started and we were like wondering, what are we going to do? The church is going to close. I went on, and the first thing I did was go, I wonder what Rick Warren's going to do. Yeah, he's got this big church. They're going to close all these huge churches, right? First thing he said was, everybody, I want you just to listen to the message and then meet with your small group online until I tell you to stop. And I said, that's great advice. That's what we're going to do. So I got up in the same day and I said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to, everybody listen to the message at a certain time of day. Keep meeting with your small groups online or when you get together in person and stop when we tell you. And everybody did that. Over 300 people in this church did that for a year and a half. Thank you. Thank you. You did that. And you stayed connected. Amazing. Because we had a process. So, I'm going to move along here. In the end, the summary of this Barna thing is that lack of confidence, lack of thought, and lack of opportunity are the greatest hurdles to discipleship, what God wants to do in our lives. And if we can eliminate the lack of confidence, the lack of thought, and the lack of opportunity, we're going to see amazing things happen. And so that's one of the things that I've given a lot of thought to this past year, and as we design this coming year, to creating those neat things for all of us. Why do we need that? Part of that is another word for another use of the word equip, and that is to fix what is broken. So equipping is not only this, you know, creativity part, it's not only this laying a foundation, it is a repair effort. In fact, when the disciples restored their nets, like, you know, they fished all day and then they used them and then things kind of got out of whack, they equipped them. They fixed them. They brought them back into alignment. It's another word that's used. In fact, this is another scripture. It says, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are spiritual should gently and humbly, and the word they use in the, I think it's in NLT, is help, but it's actually the word equip. Humbly equip that person back to the right path. And it's like setting a broken bone. Isn't that a cool use of these words? I mean, all these are the same root words and then used in so many different neat ways. It is to set the bone. It is to supply what is lacking. So here's another verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again and to fill in the gaps to equip you in your faith. So here's the question, the challenge question I would like to ask each of us today, here in person, those watching, and as you think about the next several months and your experience of SQIM Community Church. Are you in a context right now, are you planning to be in a context right now, where people know you well enough so they can point out your shortcomings? Are you doing that? Is that something that's part of your spiritual experience? If you think that getting information, life information, and filing it away somewhere, writing it in a notebook or forgetting it, because what most of us do is we listen and we forget 90% of it, if that's enough, it's not enough. I can tell you for a fact that spiritual growth doesn't hit the ground running, doesn't move forward until we let ourselves come into a context where people know us well enough so they can point out our shortcomings. And what we do here is not only that, because next week I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about the process of being in a small group itself, very interesting process. It doesn't always go well, and that's why a lot of people do it and then stop doing it. Honest. So we try to figure that out too, is that you utilize that reality and then you design studies and a process and things to do that will create safety and create opportunities to be challenged, but then to kind of back up. To move slowly, to kind of take things as they come. That's all part of this. So it's not just, hey, join a small group. It's become part of a healthy thing. We're really trying to do that in our church. And that's why, you know, pushing small group signups for those who have not done it before or had a bad experience before is like, you know, try again. Because we are doing our best. We are very aware of the process here. And we want to see growth. And it only happens when we allow ourselves to be part of that together. With others. And why? Well, we need an outlet. We come here, we learn, we come every week, or we watch every week, and the point of it is an outlet, an outcome. And here's a very clear outcome. There's three verses I'll read. Equip God's people for doing His work, Ephesians 4:12. Equip you with all you need for doing His will, and equip His people to do every good work, 2 Timothy 3:17. What is God's work? What is that outlet? In very simple terms, it's loving God and loving our neighbors, loving our family members, learning how to express that love practically and powerfully in all of our relationships. And so how and in what way do we do that? The starting point is integrating the journey. And then next week, I'm going to go into more detail about this and these four areas. But I want to give you a little picture of what is necessary for spiritual growth. And I think all four of these things I'm going to mention are part of this integrated journey that God has for us. When you come into a church, when you decide to come to a church, it's not an accident. It's never an accident. When you say, I'm going to join this church, or I'm going to be attending at this church, He has relationships for you. He's designed some kind of interactions you're going to have, whatever that is. And all this becomes part of an integrated journey, and each part is important. So Ephesians 4:16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How does that happen? Well, first of all, it happens by intentionality. So we join something, intentional participation. And hopefully the leaders in the church follow through with the right things to help us grow. We hopefully have a great youth ministry, a great children's ministry, a great small group ministry, a great men's ministry, a great women's ministry, a great couples ministry. All those things are incumbent on leadership to do well. But once we are intentional about it, things start happening. Second thing, it's incremental. Spiritual growth is incremental. It doesn't happen by information. It doesn't happen by getting better content. If we could just survive on better content, there are much better preachers out there than Scott or me. I know that because I listen to some of them. They're much better. They are. They're more interesting, more engaging. So I go on my mower and I listen to them. But we're not doing that. We're not giving better content. I mean, we hopefully have great content. But what we're really trying to do is create the environment for incremental growth by being together through a process. And if 100 of us are just watching, it's just not the same as all of us somehow engaged in that. So that we're you know, I love this week of August because I almost always get up and say something about this. Man, give it some thought and be part of the greater thing that is going on and be part of an incremental growth process, which also means I'm going to be open to being challenged. Like, I might be with someone I don't like, but maybe God has a reason for that. You know, sometimes God has reasons for things, and sometimes God has us work through things. So thinking through that, spiritual growth is also habitual. So we grow by developing good habits, by regularity, by consistency, and by learning from other people. And spiritual growth is relational. And so we grow by being with other people. Our series this year is called Character Development. That's probably a very appropriate theme. That's what we'll be doing in the regular small groups. And that fits a lot of these things too. You know, it really does. In fact, when I design that series, which I'm working on right now, I'm incorporating all these different factors in the questions and the things we talk about, because they're all so important to our growth. So God's given us a great thing. He's given us a great design. That is the we factor. That is why we need each other. And I would encourage all of us to stay at it. I know many of us are already deeply engaged, and as we continue that, let's keep our eyes open for the new people or those that are kind of checking things out and try to help each other, because this is all part of it. Let's continue to grow in our knowledge of God and the Word and applying. Let's be active in loving our neighbors. And God's got great things in store. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have designed an amazing process for growth, that you've given us this word for equip that has so many different meanings and applications. That is, it's not only for laying a foundation or creating a beautiful thing, but it's also fixing something that's broken. It's about the process of how our lives go. And I thank you that you said that this equipping that happens from the front, it happens in our small groups, it happens in all the different kinds of ways that we're given leadership in the church, that will continue until we all reach the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And I know you have that in mind for us. You've given us a way to do that, and I pray that as we as a church just continue forward, that will become a more deeper reality for the majority of us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.